Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett appeared yesterday at an event with Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell and said she was worried that the public sees the court as a partisan institution, which is kind of like performing at the VMAs with Taylor Swift and worrying that people will see you as a musician.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth talks to actor and musician Machine Gun Kelly. But first, a closer look.
Republicans are trying to rile up their base in response to President Biden's new vaccine requirements, and Rudy Giuliani insisted he was not drunk when he went on a bizarre rant during a speech at a 9/11 memorial dinner. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. The modern Republican Party is a bizarre and unhinged institution populated by crime-adjacent weirdos who pander nonstop to the ugliest instincts of their base to stay relevant. For example, Republicans have spent the last few days expressing outrage not over the deadly virus that's killed more than 650,000 Americans and is currently overwhelming hospitals and ICUs across the country, but about the president's attempt to get people vaccinated against that virus.
There are a number of Republican governors who have vowed to fight this order. Texas Governor Greg Abbott tweeted, quote, "Texas is already working to halt this power grab."
Governor Brian Kemp of Georgia posting he will pursue every legal option to stop this blatantly unlawful overreach by the Biden administration.
South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem tweeting at Joe Biden, "See you in court."
One of the most heinous displays we've ever seen from a president.
He is the closest thing we've gotten to a dictator yet.
J.D. Vance, Republican candidate for Senate in Ohio, released a statement urging people to ignore the president, quote, "do not comply with the mandates," which, just to be clear, he's saying don't get vaccinated. Only mass civil disobedience will save us from Joe Biden's naked authoritarianism.
The governor of South Carolina, Henry McMaster, tweeting, "Rest assured, we will fight them to the gates of hell to protect the liberty and livelihood of every South Carolinian."
Take it easy, Henry. You're not even going to fight somebody to the gates of your community. And I'm sorry, you'll fight them to the gates of hell. It's a requirement to get vaccinated against a deadly respiratory virus, and you sound like you're writing a screenplay for a direct-to-VHS Steven Seagal movie called Strike Force One. The Russians aborted the boat, and they have nukes. We'll fight them to the gates of hell. Now get me my nunchucks. Nunchucks? Didn't you hear me? They have nukes.
Don't worry. I'll hide behind that pipe.
But that's what these people do. It's all performance and manufactured outrage designed to gin up their base. They don't seem to care about the toll of the virus itself and the immense loss and grief it's wrought. They just care about mimicking Trump to pander to their voters. That's why guys like J.D. Vance, who once called Trump reprehensible, are now calling for mass civil disobedience and telling GOP primary voters do not comply, which I don't get. It's one thing to say I'm pro-vaccine but against mandates, but these guys are acting like mandates are tyranny when in reality mandates exist everywhere. And we have to do all kinds of much more annoying things every day to live in a functioning society with other people. I mean, you think anyone likes waiting in line at the DMV in order to be able to commute to work? No one likes that, but we do it. I was at the DMV for a full day one time because I waited in line to change my address. And when I got to the booth, I forgot my pen. So they told me to wait in the pen line, which took another 3 hours. And when I got to the window for a pen, they told me how to fill out a form. And I said, but I don't have a pen. And they said, that's not my problem. But we all have to do like that. And it's not just a personal choice. I can't believe I still have to say this 18 months in. But you can spread COVID to other people. It's not just about yourself. That's the difference. And the Republicans calling Biden a tyrant or dictator for implementing workplace safety rules, which multiple polls have now shown have majority support. Did you have the same reaction when Trump claimed he had the unilateral authority to order every governor in the country to reopen their states and force everyone back to work before a vaccine even existed?
There's a debate over what authority you have to order the country reopened. What authority do you
have? Well, I have the ultimate authority. The president of the United States has the authority to do what the president has the authority to do, which is very powerful. When somebody's the president of the United States, the authority is total. And that's the way it's got to be. I have the absolute right to do if I want to.
Again, the ultimate authority sounds like a direct-to-VHS Steven Seagal movie where he plays an ex-Navy SEAL who works at a mall when he gets taken over by Russian terrorists. I'm in charge here. I have the ultimate authority. Now get me my katana. It's the, it's like the Japanese sword-looking thing. And for those of you asking, why is it okay for Biden but not Trump, there's a moral and legal difference between claiming the power to implement new workplace safety rules and claiming total authority to force everyone back to work to expose themselves to a deadly virus. If you're comparing the two, you're doing so in bad faith. That's like things, there's no difference between forcing people to wear a seatbelt and forcing car manufacturers to install a third mystery pedal on the driver's side that either brakes, accelerates, or launches you straight up into the sky without a parachute. And as for Biden, he's not backing down, even in the face of GOP hysterics, as he made clear over the weekend.
Have at it.
Damn, a lot of Seagal energy going around these days. Gates of hell, have at it. Politicians are starting to talk like one of those movies about two old boxers who come out of retirement to settle a feud one more time. I'll send you to the gates of hell. Have at it. What? I said have at it. Have at what? The GOP has been like this for decades, but the party's latest transformation into whatever it is now is perhaps best embodied by former Mayor Rudy Giuliani, who the media once hailed as America's mayor, but who is now essentially a New York City Bigfoot who hangs out with Eastern European mobsters and trims his toenails in Panera bathrooms. I don't even know if he's really done that, but, I mean, would you be surprised? At this point, I wouldn't be surprised if I was watching an episode of World's Dumbest Criminals and I saw Rudy on a Dwayne Reed security camera trying to use his own keys to open the shelf where they keep all the razors. I wouldn't even be surprised if an employee walked over and said, you again? In 2001, he was front row at Yankees playoffs games, and now I'm pretty sure he sells off-brand merchandise on the sidewalk outside the stadium. It doesn't say NY, it says MY for my Yankees. And then on Saturday night during an appearance at what has traditionally been a somber event, an annual 9/11 memorial dinner, Rudy went on an incoherent rant where he, among other things, imitated Queen Elizabeth, and insisted out of nowhere that he never spent any time with Prince Andrew.
Rudy Giuliani does an annual dinner every year with people who were involved with him on September 11th, 2001. And for years, my impression was it was a somber, poignant gathering of people to talk about what was lost and how the city saw itself through that time. Not really anymore.
I don't want to sound like a name dropper, but I told this to the Queen of England. She said, you did a wonderful job on September 11th. And therefore, I'm making you an honorary knight, commander of the royal something or other. I turned down a knighthood because if you took a knighthood, you had to lose your citizenship. I know Prince Andrew is very questionable now. I never went out with him. Ever. Never had a drink with him. Never was with a woman or a young girl with him, ever. One time, I met him in my office, and one time when we had the party. Right, Bernie? You were there.
What a time to be Bernie. I'm assuming that's Bernie Kerik, but I don't know, and Rudy probably doesn't know. Bernie was probably right in the middle of bragging about his great seats, and then Rudy bails on his act to do some crowd work. Right, Bernie? We had that party, and Prince Andrew was there, and nothing creepy happened. That was right before you got indicted, right, Bernie? Give it up for Bernie, everybody. He was with me when we met Prince Andrew. Nothing happened! But you were there, and I was there, and Prince Andrew was there. But it was normal. Look.
I'm not saying Rudy was drunk, but that's usually when guys from Brooklyn start trying to imitate the Queen of England. If you're ever in a Coney Island dive bar at 3 a.m. and someone orders an Amstel Light instead of a Budweiser, you can expect to hear one of his friends say, look at this guy. Oh, the Amstel Light. I'm the Queen of England. But I guess now that we've heard his British accent, we know why Rudy lost out on the part of Mrs. Doubtfire. Of course, if he ever tried to doubtfire his ex-wife, she would figure it out right away. Would you like a spot of tea, dear? I know it's you, Rudy. You're my cousin. But I guess Rudy can add this tape to his reel of impressions if he ever auditions for America's Not Talent.
One time, Bill Clinton asked me, what's this guy Romney like? You know what I told him? He's our Al Gore.
All right, Rudy.
Biden's going to take
some. By the way, Biden's been off the...
Mueller saying obstruction of justice. You cut everything out. Obstruction of justice, which the guy will say, say obstruction of justice. Obstruction of justice. Did you decide it? No.
Well, I'm definitely not going to Rudy's one-man show. I'm just kidding. I definitely am. Why do all of Rudy's impressions sound like a cartoon dog? He sounds like McGruff, the crime dog, blitzed out of his mind on some coke he confiscated from a bust. And by the way, for the record, Rudy would like everyone to know he was definitely not drunk. And he let everyone know in a way that's very uncharacteristic of drunk guys. He gave a series of long, rambling answers in which he repeated himself and made no sense. Rudy gave an interview over the weekend, and I'm going to read it to you, the actual transcript, like a guy trying to get his keys from the bartender. Yes, I had a scotch, but I was not drunk. There is a deliberate attempt by the left wing to paint me that way. I'm not a drunk. I don't think I've ever been publicly drunk in my life. The last time I was, I don't know, I was probably in college. I like to drink scotch and have cigars. That's where it probably comes from. I drink moderate amounts of scotch. I mostly drink scotch because I like to have it with cigars. I didn't have a cigar last night. And this is a caricature that the left is trying to put on me. I can't remember the last time that I was drunk. Yes, of course I had a scotch at the beginning of dinner, but on that I didn't have it. It was watered down. Not even sure I drank the whole thing. It hurts my reputation for someone to say I'm drunk. I'm not sure I agree, though. It's probably better if you were drunk. At least your behavior would make sense. If someone told you, hey, so last night Dave gets up at karaoke, and instead of singing, he just listed everything he hated about each of us while Duran Duran played in the background. Then he stormed out with his pants down, and then later, when we left, he was asleep in a bush. Craziest thing was, didn't have a drink, just like that. If you heard that, you'd say, well, I think it's probably the end of our time hanging out with Dave. But sure, that's what's hurting your reputation, not the fact that you helped incite a riot at the Capitol, lied about the election, had your law license suspended, forgot to swing your balls forward before you sat down for an interview, accidentally gave a press conference outside a landscaping company, had hair dye leaking out of the side of your head like the juice leaking from a hefty bag, and got caught shaving at a table in an airport. Can you imagine being his waiter? What can I get for you, sir? I'll have some tap water and a can of Barbasol. So Rudy insists he wasn't drunk, but he does like to engage in doing English accents. Giuliani said the idea that he was mocking the Queen is an interpretation that's totally unfair. I used an English accent, and I have never mocked it. I just like to use an English. I imitate Churchill sometimes. The only thing you have in common with Churchill is a stiff upper lip, and that's just early onset rigor mortis. So Rudy thinks he's just like Churchill. Of course, if you told Rudy to wear a Homburg hat, he'd probably show up with a Big Mac on his head. This is the modern GOP rambling, incoherent, and far more outraged about attempts to stop a deadly virus from spreading than the toll that the deadly virus has taken. And that's because Trumpism is still the core of the modern GOP. Trump led one of the most disastrous presidencies in history, and all Republicans have to say about him is,
you did a wonderful job.
This has been A Closer Look.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Our guest is a musician and actor who is currently traveling the country on his Tickets to My Downfall tour. His graphic novel, Hotel Diablo, is available September 28th. Please welcome to the show, Machine Gun Kelly. The door gift you. Welcome, buddy.
Thank you
so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Fresh off the VMAs, you performed last night. You closed out the show.
Yeah, does anyone have a Band-Aid? I, like, pulled a giant piece of my guitar out of my hand.
Just now?
Yeah, but it's been, well, I did it last night, but it won't stop bleeding, so I just keep wiping it on the inside of my pants. Maybe I'll just keep my hand in my pants.
That's cool. Yeah, that looks very natural. Unfortunately, they all know why.
Okay.
We'll get you a Band-Aid. We'll see. You know, I'm actually genuinely curious how long it takes to get a Band-Aid during an interview, so we'll see if we can make it in time.
Right.
But you mentioned that you got a piece of your guitar. I was getting nervous when people try to smash guitars. Were you nervous that you were going to be able to effectively smash it? You did a great job.
Well, that was never part of the plan. I kind of did it out of... There could be a documentary about everything that happened backstage at the VMAs last night.
A documentary about how it went exactly according to plan?
Yeah. I wasn't supposed to close out the show.
Look at this.
Oh, my God.
Look how
Thank
fast
you
it came.
So much.
You weren't supposed to close out the show. That seems to me like at award shows, there's usually a pretty hard, locked-in run list. So they came to you and said, change of plans, you're going to close
I was
the show?
In my set piece. I was in the grave. If you watch the performance, I start out in a grave, and it got... in the middle of the show, they took me out of the grave. Story for another day.
That is, well, I don't know. I mean, it seems like this is a pretty good place for it. I do like the idea of somebody being like, somebody has to go tell Machine Gun he's not on. It's like, he's already in the grave.
Yeah, I was in the grave, for real.
Were you fully covered? So somebody had to come over and like knock, knock on the grave?
No, the grave was an open grave.
Did you then, when it was all over, it went well, you won, you got an award presented to you on television. Did you then go out later in the night? Be honest.
I did. I ran into Pete last night.
You went? Yeah, Pete did a concert, a stand-up comedy show for 9/11.
Yeah.
At Madison Square Garden. So you went out, you saw your friend Pete?
I saw Pete, and I saw Chappelle.
Chappelle? Had you met Chappelle before?
Well, funny story, that was the first time me, Pete, and Dave have been in the room since Dave flew me and Pete out to his house to smoke.
To smoke weed.
And then he sent us back because I had a show.
But okay.
He found out Pete was coming to Ohio and for my show, Christmas show, and he was like, you guys just got to come down and hang out. I'm like, you're like 5 hours away driving. He's like, no worries. There's a jet there waiting for you. You guys have to get on. And we got on. We landed. He forgot it was his mom's 81st birthday.
Uh-huh.
As we all do.
Right. Well, if you're the kind of person who flies people in for weed, you tend to forget dates.
Yeah, exactly. And so we went. So he picks us up. We go there. And then I don't know if I could say all of it. It was just like, it was the most legendary. It certified Dave Chappelle as like the ultimate rock star to me.
And is this a photo from them or is this a different time?
No, this is a...
Because this, I was like, this is not the photo I expected based on what you just said.
No, that was actually from a couple days ago. Pete flew in. I wrote and directed this movie with a friend of mine, Modson, and he came in to do a cameo on the last day.
Oh, great.
And he was like, well, we should have breakfast. And I got to breakfast and we were looking at the menu and both of us saw this drink and we were kind of looking at the name of it, and we were like, it looks so good, but, like, I don't want to be the one to order it. So we both looked at the waiter, and we were like, can we get two Beach Boys, please?
The Beach Boys!
So, like,
you guys are the new Beach Boys. I love it. So I just want to get the timeline right. You were doing a show in Ohio, and instead of driving 5 hours, Chappelle jets you to his place.
We fly back.
How long are you there?
We do, like, a solid... Mom's 81st birthday for...
So you went to the party? So,
yeah.
Great.
Which it was a party.
Great.
81-year-olds go hard.
Absolutely
and
they do.
Did that 2 hours. Chappelle has different man caves around the town. So we stopped in there. Talib Kweli was in one. Like, we went to another place. Like, it was the most random night. We end up at his house. His wife was, like, furious that we were still there, like, get these idiots out of here. So he's like, all right, you guys got to get back on the plane. So we get on the plane, go, we do the concert, and then me, Pete, and my daughter decided to do an 8-hour road trip to New York to go to his mom's house, and we spent Christmas at his mom's house.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Well turned around. Your daughter is 12 years old?
Mm-hmm.
And does she ever go to your shows?
Yeah.
Does she enjoy?
Yeah, for sure.
Great.
She's a concert kid.
And she can stay up late and do that whole thing?
She stays, I guess, up 12 too now. Late. Yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine mm-hmm. at this point, yeah.
Yeah, she looks at me like I'm a loser. I'm like, all right, it's 1 a.m., I'm a tap out. She's like, dork.
What? You, I have a tattoo question.
Okay.
I know you have a lot. Maybe something that you and Pete connected on. And one thing that he's talked about on the show is, like, sometimes you have one that you end up maybe regretting over time. You've gotten all your album titles tattooed on yourself. So does that then put a higher burden of pressure on the title when you're coming up with it, knowing that you're going to get it inked on?
It puts pressure on how well the album does. No one wants to put the flop on their body.
Sure, I didn't think about that.
But
right.
It's done me well so far. It progressively has gotten better every release. I'm just worried, like, if it turns into a Jay-Z situation where I have, like, 13 albums.
Yeah.
And then I end up having to be like, all right, I ran out of space. I guess I'm doing it right here on my nose. Yeah, or like my eye, I have to sacrifice an eyebrow and just put like...
Right, yeah, you can't be that prolific. You got to like tap the brakes a little bit so you don't
like
get...
Like live at Seth Meyers' kitchen.
We would love to do one of your live albums. hey, this is really cool. So you wrote this graphic novel.
Mm-hmm.
You got a bunch of different really great artists to work on it.
Yeah.
I've only done it the one time. Bill Hader and I wrote a comic book a long time ago. And the most exciting thing for me was when the art comes back. Was that just so thrilling?
Yes. Yes, and like it was really cool being able to reach out to certain artists that I love the way that the art looks in Ice Cream Man.
Yeah.
And we were able to get certain people that I was fans of to contribute to this. I'm more of a cerebral comic reader. Like I love graphic novels that take you on like really intricate journey. I like Sandman. We were talking about Sandman backstage. So I mean, I'm hoping to turn this into something that becomes a world. Kind of like I love how Disney World is such a fantasy like place that is, you know, you can
this
go
does
to.
Not strike
this
me to be like Disney World.
A little bit opposite of.
I don't
Disney
want to
world.
Show some of these pictures, but it's very not Disney World.
We won't. The audience doesn't have to see, but it. Yeah. These are things we don't show the television.
No, we don't show the television. Okay. Here, I'll just give a line. The man I killed when I was 17.
Ah.
That's my favorite ride.
Yes.
At Disney World. It's so great. You start on like a, you're on a roller coaster, mm-hmm. and on the way up, it's like tick, 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 thump.
Oh, my God.
And then everybody on the roller coaster is like, wait, what was that? And then you just hear sirens and the roller coaster
The police
goes
just
down.
Come out and arrest everybody like, well, you just killed somebody, so time to go to jail. You're a lifer.
So you grew up, I know you kind of, Cleveland,
mm-hmm.
Worked in a mall. And this was when you were also, you had mixtapes. You were doing mixtapes. So that's a very cool thing to be doing. What were the stores you were working in at the mall at the time?
I worked in an airbrush store for many years.
What were people getting airbrushed back in the day when you were there?
A lot of RIPs and a lot of free Chris.
Okay.
You know, that would, when someone got arrested, that was when a lot of money came into the shop.
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
So that would be a bad time for the Chris's.
Right,
but a good time for the airbrush.
There wasn't a person that came in that I wouldn't rap for. Like anybody that came in, I was like, enjoy this T-shirt. Now also, I'm going to rap for you for the next 3 minutes.
Great. So not here's a mixtape. You were like, I'm going to do it face to face.
Yeah. And then I would also like to charge you $5 extra to leave with my mixtape.
Wow. And now, what was the sort of hit rate you had? How many people were actually buying the mixtape?
You'd be surprised at how many people in Cleveland like come up to me now when I'm walking around and are like, dude, I remember you when you used to rap in the airbrush top.
Really?
Yeah. It was and because Tower City is the middle point of Cleveland between East and West Side. So all the trains, there's like a one train station in the middle.
Uh-huh.
And so all the trains would come up and everyone would come up in between their stops and like after school and everything. And so anyone that was walking, and the movie theater was right there. Like when You Got Served was in theaters and everyone came out, I was just in the hallway the whole time like,
So you would just wait for people to come out of a movie, because you thought if they were at that movie,
was right next to the
and you would just
movie,
like rap. And now, how many people? Now, the, when people say, "I remember you rapping," are they saying, "I bought your mixtape," or do you think now they regret that they?
No,
okay.
A lot of people bought my. Like, I was. That was how people heard. That was how the labels heard about me, because I was a really big mixtape artist in Ohio.
Out of Cleveland.
Yes. That's and then some people remember me from working at Chipotle.
Okay. Because you were a rapper, or just you were really good at it?
Because I was a burrito rapper.
You were really... Well, I hate giving the last word to the guest, but I don't think I'm going to beat that. Hey, yeah, thanks so much for being here. Hotel Diablo is available September 28th.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law and Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.